Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So thank you so much for joining us today. We would love if you'd love leave a review down below. Those five-star reviews really do help us a lot. But before we jump into the podcast, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. Can't say enough great things about the people up in oh gosh, where are they? I know it's a suburb of Minneapolis. I'm going to have to look that up before the next podcast. But great customer service, so easy to set up and break down. It is, we own three of them. That's probably what I've had a lot of people come and try to sponsor this podcast, but I only do sponsors that I truly believe in. And I believe in Dr. Dish. I also believe in teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It is my baby. It is what allows all these podcasts to go out and stay free and to all of you. So, several ways you can help us out. By leaving a review, but also by checking out teachhoops.com. Right now we have a quarterly three-month subscription that will, not be around forever, but we're trying some new things out. So come over and check it out and have a great day.
All right. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. So Coach Blaine, a fellow state championship coach. So,
I feel very 2009. We both did it in 2009.
We did. 2009. That was, I always say the first one is for the school. The second one was kind of for the players. It was that was the one that Jerron promised. He promised it we lost in 2008 and he promised it in the press conference in 2008 that we were going to win it in 2009. So that entire year was very stressful. Yeah. It was like the Joe Namath thing. But go ahead, Coach. I'm going to have you. Okay. I'm going to have you introduce yourself.
Sure.
And then kind of give your basketball journey. And then I will, I'll jump in and we'll talk, okay. Talk practice planning. We'll talk all sorts of fun stuff.
That sounds great. I appreciate you having me on, Coach. It sounds like fun. My journey, my name is Jim Blaine, and I am currently the head men's basketball coach at Clark University in Dubuque, Iowa. I took the road less traveled to become a head college coach. It was never something that was really on my radar.
I know Dubuque. Sure. I know Dubuque. So before we go too far, so I know where University of Dubuque is. Where are you guys located in relation to them?
We are, all three schools are like you can throw a rock and hit them.
Okay.
If you go down university, we're kind
of up the hill, right?
Yeah, we're right. You know where Dubuque Senior High School is?
Uh huh.
We're right across the street from Dubuque Senior.
Okay.
Sort of kitty corner on Clark Drive, and so we're probably the smallest of the three campuses in Dubuque, but it's
great
it's
town. Dubuque's a
yeah,
great
it is.
Town.
It is. It's a great college town. It's just a great town. 65,000 or 60,000.
It is. It's a great town.
I still live on the good side of the river, though. I still have my 608 area code.
Okay. So go. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's
so
all right.
You go back to your high school coaching career, and then
yes. Yeah. I actually got started. I was going to college at UW-Platteville, and which is only like 14 miles from my hometown.
Yep.
And my high school basketball coach called me and said, we need somebody to coach junior high. Whoever was doing it had got a different job and couldn't do it. I'm like, sure, why not? So that's how it started. And then
tough job to fill. Those are tough jobs to fill, man.
Yeah. And you know, when you're a college kid, man, you're going to pay me $800 to do this. Sure. Why not? It sounds like fun. And as my buddy said, you got the itch and, enjoyed it. Actually started in girls high school. Did some, varsity and JV high school girls, and then became the assistant coach at Benton in the early 90s. Moved across to Southwestern to get a head job for 4 years. And then the Benton job came open again. It was 99. They were coming off a winless season. And my one of my former teachers, who was the AD, called me and said, we want to hire you because we want somebody that's – I don't want a college kid that we're going to have to hire somebody every 2 years. We want somebody that's going to stay here and do it. So I took it, and we won one game my first year. Seven my second, 10 my third, and then we won the conference title. And from there we won seven conference titles in 10 years. We had there was a time, Steve, where it was Madison Memorial, Benton, Randolph, and Cuba City. We had a streak. Cuba City and us had 6 20 win seasons in a row. I think Randolph had 9 and you had 7.
Yeah. I was talking to Mark Miller today too. Cause I, you know, he's doing that streaks. Like I think Germantown has the 69. I said, Mark, you need to look into this, but the proudest streak I have of all, you know, all the state tournament things is we won 14 straight conference championships. Yeah. Randolph, I thought Randolph might've done it, but they didn't.
I don't think they did.
No.
We won six in a row.
14 is like that's
crazy.
It's crazy.
Six in a row is crazy. Yeah, 14 in a row is off the wall.
I said I don't know if that record's been broken. Maybe Pious Girl.
Maybe.
But it's like I said, you got to go back and look at that because that's a crazy record.
That is a crazy record because we won six in a row undisputed and.
Right.
You know, that's half a decade for crying out loud. 14 in a row is a decade and a half.
So. I know. It's crazy.
And then from there, it was the day after Labor Day. And my phone rang, and it was a friend of mine that taught at Clark. And their assistant coach had just left late. He took a junior college head coaching job. And they had recruited David Nice, who played for me at Benton for 4 years and had played 1 year at Clark at the time. And so apparently I was close. They had seen us play because of David. They called me and were like, would you be interested to be in a college assistant? And I talked to my wife and my kids and we live 20, my door to Clark is 22 miles.
So that's what, that probably played into it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We never had to, my kids still go to school in Benton. My oldest son is a freshman.
Okay.
This year that played for David Nice, in fact. Okay. So there's kind of a full circle there, which is awesome. David's one of my favorites. But
and so at what point did you decide to get out of the business that you were running then?
When I became the head coach.
Okay.
After my year as the assistant, the head coach left and took a job in Nebraska. And lo and behold, there I sat. And became a head college coach and honestly didn't have any idea what I was doing. Thought I did.
Right.
But then once I became the head coach, it was impossible to run the business. I did it for about a year as best I could. And it was going to go under if I kept doing that. And I sold it to a guy in Missouri who bought it as his retirement plan. So he's just having some fun with it.
Right. What didn't you know? What in retrospect, what did you think you knew and what didn't you know?
Well, what I didn't know was recruiting. You know, I mean,
it's the name of the game, baby.
Yeah. And I mean, I knew how to call kids up and talk to them. I mean, we're all coaches. We're pretty personable. We're going to be able to talk to people, but I didn't know how to begin to find. I had literally never gone to an AAU event until I was the head coach at Clark. And we hired an assistant who had been a volunteer at St. Norbert.
Okay.
And he basically put together our whole recruiting. It's like, here's where we got to go. You know, I had no idea what I was doing and how to organize it or anything.
So and here's somebody that I think I know talent and I think I can see talent, but I don't know. So this is a question I've always wondered is when you go to those events, it seems, I mean, I can pick out the top three kids. Mm-hmm. That's easy, but I ain't getting the top. If I'm at Clark, I'm not getting the top.
Oh, no.
How do you differentiate in like the one in Rockford? It was like, there's so many good players. Like, how do you differentiate ability? I mean, it just seems like a lot of noise to me when I'm looking at it.
Yeah. Well, honestly, like with the Rockford, when you're talking about it, started with the people that put in their grades, you know, that would put in their GPA and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd start there. It's crazy. It sounds like, okay, I'm watching Omaha Central or Omaha South play Madison Memorial.
Right.
And if you had your grades in, I'm like, okay, 22 looks like he's a pretty good player. Let's check his grades first. Right. And if his grades are okay, then we're going to take the next step. A lot of times you go on Twitter and see who's offered, you know, I mean, it was the one in Rockford. I was watching a kid from, I thought he was a senior. He was a sophomore. I'm like, this kid would be all right. You know, he'll be good for us. He's a senior. Right. He's got a couple years. He's going to need to develop a little bit. And I got talking to people. They said, no, he's a sophomore. He's one of the top six players in the state of Illinois. Well, you know, that makes sense. I feel good. I knew he was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, there's sort of a, sometimes it's size, you know, those 6'7" wings we're not getting, we got to go 6'4", 6'5". Sometimes it's that. And you just kind of know who the really good players are in the D1 guys. And you, for us to be successful, we got to get those guys that are getting recruited and even in some cases offered by D2.
Right. They just don't want to go to Northern Michigan. They want to stay closer to home. Yeah.
Or they're getting recruited by them, but they, you know, they fall away. You know, they don't stay. They recruit somebody else instead of him. Or we had an honorable mention All-American this year. Was a sophomore. He's from Dubuque. And he was ready to accept a scholarship at Upper Iowa. And he was going to call him on Friday. And on Wednesday, they called him and they pulled the scholarship because they already given it to somebody else. And now he was the first team all conference guy for us this year as a sophomore.
Right.
But those are the guys we got to get to win. You know, we got to go get guys like that to win.
And what's your radius? Like, you're not getting Madison kids probably a lot.
No, like for us to get Wisconsin kids, Steve, we've got to get NAI has athletic money. We have scholarships, but we don't have full rides. Some schools do. We only go to full tuition.
Right.
So we're going to have a hard time getting that mid. We're not going to get the rotation guy from Wisconsin because he's going to go to a WEAC school.
Right.
It's going to be so much cheaper.
Right.
Now we can go get like Dylan Curry from Kakana.
Right.
We can go get him because we can give him a little bigger scholarship because he's going to play for us.
Right.
And right now he played, came off the bench last year.
It's similar to like some of the baseball where you got to, here's your lump. You can break it up kind of the way you need to. Okay.
That makes sense. It's a math and return on investment problem. As much, you said it in terms of knowing who's good and who's not, that's the easy part.
Right.
The hard part for us is we have to be able to spend the least amount of, it's like Moneyball. We got to be able to spend the least amount of money and get the best players.
Right.
And
part of that is like I was talking to a Holy Cross assistant a couple of days ago, and Holy Cross is like, my son's going to Middlebury, which is like a top five liberal arts school in the country. It's like, he got in. That's just like, he won the lottery, basically, in my opinion. Crazy hard to get into. But those schools can only recruit 5% of the population to play basketball because no one else can get in. It was the same with the Holy Cross guy. He goes, well, we're just trying to steal a Harvard kid. Or, you know, maybe, you know, one of those, you know, kids that are up higher, a little bit higher level that, you know, that we want to get in. And it's the same with you. You've got an academic standard probably. And then you got to look at that. And you have money. Well, that's the thing is you probably can come into the state a little bit because you got some money.
Yeah.
We actually don't have money.
For the better kids, for the Dylan Currys, for the, the other thing we've got is nursing. So we've gotten a couple of kids like Reed Larson from Fenimore who will eventually be a rotation guy for less money, but he wanted nursing. So that's the one niche, you know, that we've got. But yeah, otherwise we've had our best luck with Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois. my second assistant was a California guy, and nothing against California guys, but every time we brought him in, it just didn't work.
Right. That's a long way to come, man.
Yes. Yeah. And especially if you come in and suddenly, you're actually the sixth man or the seventh man.
Right.
It's a long way to come to sit in the bench and only play 18 minutes.
Right.
And so we stopped recruiting from distance. Now that we get a kid from distance every now and then, but it's Wisconsin, Iowa, Illinois. The funny part is we really seldom, I think in my years, we've had one kid from Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota's, it would be different. It would be interesting if the WEAC was like NAIA or scholarship too. If they mm-hmm. were D2, I think it would help everybody, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, it hurt us. Yes.
It would. But I'm just saying, they are literally almost a D2.
Oh, they are. Yeah, it is. It is. And that's the team that wins our league, Steve, is William Penn. Here's their starting center this year transferred from Pepperdine. Their starting two guard transferred in from Oakland, Michigan. And their best player transferred in from one of the Texas schools, like Texas San Antonio or somebody like that, one of the mid-level Texas schools. So that's like, we finished second. That's who we got to beat.
Right.
We got to go out and beat guys like that.
How does your tournament work? How does NAIA tournament work?
Sure. We do a conference tournament like everybody else, for us, like our conference champ, our league gets two automatic bids.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Yeah. So our conference tournament champion gets, our conference champion gets a bid and our conference tournament champion gets a bid. And then if William Penn won both, then the second place team gets a bid.
Okay.
We also got the NAIA does a weird thing where, I don't know if it's weird or not, but it's different. They give what's called a host bid. And because the tournament's in Kansas City and our conference is based in Kansas City, we got a host bid. So once we locked up second place in late February, we knew we were in. Because the worst case scenario was we'd get the host bid.
Right.
So that's and every conference has – it depends how many teams are in your league. Like if you're a league of – I think it's 11 or fewer, you get one automatic bid. 12 to 15, you get two. If you get 16 –
And how many make the tournament?
32. Now next year we're going into all one because that was NAIA D1.
Okay.
Now next year we're going – NAIA D1 and D2 are just combining, so it'll be 64 teams next year.
Okay. And how will that change things from D1 and D2?
Well, I think it helps us because the NAIA D1, you could use enough money for 11 scholarships.
Right.
So some teams were given fulls and allotting others here and there. And our school, and this isn't a criticism, it's just what it is. It was like coaching at Benton.
Right.
We're the smallest school, but we don't care.
Right.
We don't give full rides. We only give up the full tuition. So we deal with it.
Right.
And that's all we can do.
Right.
But now everybody's down to, I believe it's 8. So it brings some of those schools that were fully funded back toward us. Because we're probably using 6 to 7.5.
Okay.
So it brings them.
So it might balance the field out some.
I hope so. We'll see. I mean, I'm as a D3 guy that grew up watching the WEAC and the NCAA D3 tournament and how they would take four teams to a site.
Right.
I love that. Like I would go watch both teams play all the time.
Right.
We're doing that next year.
I think that breeds excitement. Yeah. I think.
Yes. Now the NAIA people are going crazy because forever they've been taking 32 teams to Kansas City and playing 5 games in 6 days.
Right.
Well, now it's going to be more like the D3 model. A round of 4, 16 rounds of 4, and then 16 teams go to Kansas.
Yeah, but I think that's going to be better for everybody.
I do too. I mean, I do too. I'm the minority of our group just because they've been in the NAIA forever and I get it.
Right. And there's probably a big money maker for NAIA to have all 64, but it's better for the schools probably to have that gate and their
Just trying to win 5 games in 6 days. That's crazy.
I know, it's like the old state tournament when you had to win 3 in 3 days. Yeah. It was like, oh my God, it was like whoever had the most strength. Okay, so let's go let's talk practice planning.
Sure. Sure.
So why don't you pull up a practice plan, we can talk about that. Do you have anything as you're doing that, anything we could talk about in terms of
absolutely
how you, is it I would love to know the difference between being a high school coach for the listeners and being a college coach, how that has differentiated your practice planning.
Do you want me to bring the shared
screen up? Yeah, bring the shared screen up. Yeah, sure. Do that.
Let's see.
Because I think that's what everyone's intrigued about.
Yeah.
When do you practice?
Okay.
How is it different? How is it similar to what you were doing when you were a high school coach?
Well, I the difference is we just get so much more time to get ready.
Right.
You know, I think we practiced 28 times before our first game.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So in high school, you're practicing what? Like 10.
Maybe 10. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's just so much more time to, you can really take your time and put stuff in and do it over and over again. You know, I think you're better at it that way, obviously. I think in terms of practice planning though, it's the same, you know, because some thoughts I had written down, Steve, was, you know, with practice, you've got to be your personality. Like I said, I grew up around Platteville and I went and watched Bo's team's practice. I've always said Bo was technique over effort. You know, they were so locked into trying, it was footwork, and not that they didn't coach effort.
Right.
And encourage it, but they were technique over effort.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
And then I went and watched
his entire career.
Yes, didn't change. Exactly.
Yep. If you don't watch his Platteville practices and watch his Badger practices,
yep. same thing.
Exact same thing.
And then I was fortunate to, with my business, I got to go up and to about 3 or 4 of Buzz Williams' practices at Marquette. They were fantastic.
Right.
And he was the opposite. They were effort over technique.
Yep.
And again, not that they weren't talking about technique or working on it, but it was all, we're going 1,000 miles an hour. It's just play hard, effort.
Yep.
And I found it fascinating. I couldn't do it. It's not my personality, but it's Buzz's, you know, and
I love Buzz. Buzz has so
too.
Much freaking energy.
Yep.
Buzz is so real too. None of that fake with him. It's just, that's so real. Yes.
And stole some great ideas from him. One of them was, we did with our team one time when they were doing their, 4-man workouts. They got 7,000 managers. So,
right. Oh yeah.
They assigned a manager to a kid and he had a clipboard with different things on them. Every time a teammate helped another one off the floor, they got a mark for that. Anytime they high five, anytime you touched one of your teammates in any way, you know, a high five, a pat in the butt, whatever, you got a mark for that. Anytime I threw you a pass and you scored and you point back at me like, hey, good pass. You got a positive mark for that. If they bent over and grabbed their shorts, they got a negative mark. If they leaned against the wall, they got a negative mark. Now, we didn't keep track of all that.
Right.
But we had a student assistant for like 10 days. This is second or third year. I said, just do positive touches. We're not going to worry about the negative stuff. So we did all the positive stuff. Anytime teammates touched, anytime.
Right.
And it was fascinating to see our freshmen were the ones that were more enthusiastic and more in touching, encouraging guys than the older guys. And I had to get after the older guys because I'm like, you're selfish.
Right.
You're being selfish. You're not thinking about others. You're just trying to survive. So
right.
I thought that was interesting. You know,
it is.
High school coaches, I don't know if we could do that, but it's got to be a secret, obviously. So we did it for about 10 days in practice and I'd love to do it again. It was good.
It's effort. Like I was talking, that was the Holy Cross coach. That's a high school coach. Now I'll send you the effort sheet, but he breaks down games and effort. Like he has an effort sheet and it's crazy. Like it's pluses and minuses. It's like there's at times I think you have to track that stuff just to show them. Cause I don't think they know.
I agree. So that was a couple things I wrote down. I got this from Kevin Eastman. Until you play your first game, especially on the defensive side, you have to coach in absolutes. So it can't be when, you know, Keith says, coach, if that's a non-shooter, how do I guard him? we're not worried about non-shooters right now. We're doing it this way. And then when scouting comes along, absolutely. Then you can, you know, you can help in off the, on the lane line drive, you can help from the corner off a guy who can't shoot. But until you play that first game, we try to coach in absolutes.
I love that because it's like there's 18 billion different ways to deal with the ball screen. Like right. You basically better pick one and get good at it. And for us, especially when you have like 8 days, it's like, holy crap, what are we going to do? We're going to hard show. And Yeah,
we do that too. We pick one and ours is the same. Ours is hard hedge. And then we don't tag from the strong side. So like if it's a, our terminology is a deuce. If it's a deuce ball screen, is as a close, you know, a shooter in the corner on that same side ball screen. We don't tag off of him. So we don't have that guy go help the post on the roll. We bring it from the weak side. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah.
We bring that from the weak side. Our theory is we can get there as fast. If our guy's hedging it right, they're not going to be able to make that skip pass. It's going to have to be, it's not going to be easy to get there.
Right. And we'll blitz the screen a lot in high school just because they don't deal with it much.
Sure.
But we talk about touch, take, you know, kind of thing, like fight through that screen, you know. But it's like, you're right. I love that idea, that Eastman idea of like, this is where we're going to do, because you're trying to get so much stuff and we don't have the time that you do, but, yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Coaching absolutes, man. Like we chase every screen. We chase everybody, you know, on a down screen, pin screen, whatever. We're going to chase them. It's what we believe in. Not saying it's right or wrong, but it's us.
Right.
And so we had a kid last year. He's like, well, what if, you know, he's like, well, in this situation, I can do this. I'm like, we're not thinking about it. We're chasing him.
Right.
We're chasing him. Because if you do that, that guy over there that you're guarding shoots 44% from three, he's going to go there and they're going to score 3 points.
Right.
Because our whole defense is set up for this. So don't, you know, it's like,
you can't you start.
To,
yeah.
Can't yeah, start. You try adjusting. To build some, yeah, you try to build some habits, I guess.
And what, okay. So before we get into the practice thing, is every, do you look at the guy's schedules beforehand? Do you know when they're going to, is there ever a conflict with that?
Occasionally, not very often.
Okay.
We're done with classes by on Mondays. I think it's 3:30. Tuesdays it's 3:00. It's
campus wide. It's campus. Right. Like, no one's running a 6:00 class.
No, there are night classes on Monday and Thursdays that we tell our guys, if you're going to take a night class, take it on Mondays, and then we only have to deal with it one day.
Okay.
And then we just deal with it. And usually a couple guys have to take one, but. And then Friday's route at 2:30. So we're usually
okay.
So yeah, I've got a spreadsheet in my office with their practice times and or with their class times. Because the other thing we do that we get as NAI, we get more time. We get 26 weeks of practice. Or is it 24 weeks of practice? Whoops, I better get that right.
Right.
From the start of school to the end. So we'll do. So like when we're practicing in end of September and October, we'll have them come in small groups as well. And we'll do 45 minutes twice a week of skill work. And then in April, all through April, we're doing skill work with them because we can, we've got the time to do it. So
well, that's really nice.
That it's, and then in the summer, we have no rules. We can practice every day of the summer if we wanted to. We don't.
Right.
But like local guys like Keith and Jared or
Jordan. What are you doing with them right now? They're not on campus, obviously.
No, if we were on campus now, we would be right at the end of our small group workouts and open gyms.
Okay.
Which is the other thing, at open gym, we don't have to go hide in the corner. You know, we can stand there and watch them and say, hey, Keith, why don't you work on the thing we worked on this afternoon or whatever. So we get to talk to them. That's what I really like about the NAI is we get time with them. We get to.
Do you think the you think it's safe?
I don't know. It's a great question. I think we're probably, if this whole thing comes to an end, you know, in 12 months, I mean, where we can get back to normal and do stuff, I think we'll be fine. If it gets too much longer, I don't know. It's
because they don't have the finances, probably, that the NCAA does.
Now, fortunately, our school, we're good. You know, our endowment is good. We don't have a lot of debts. In fact, we have very little debt. So we're in a good enough shape to, now athletics drives enrollment like any small school.
Right.
We're in good enough shape to survive.
And how many kids do you keep on your roster?
We keep about – if we offer you money to come play basketball, you're going to get to play basketball. We keep it between 22 and 25.
Okay.
But we also play reserve games.
Oh, you do? So, okay.
Yeah. So we'll play 12 or 15 reserve games for those. Our sixth man this past season played – well, actually, Dylan played some reserve games as a freshman.
Okay.
Our sixth man and our seventh man were both reserve game guys as freshmen, and then as sophomores, they were
– It's a strength in body thing. I think the difference between an 18 and a 20-year-old is bigger than between a 14 and an 18-year-old. I think that differentiation's bigger.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't, because I got a 15-year-old sitting in here that's 6'4" and looks like a junior in high school.
Right. Yeah. You can. There's something. Yeah. It's crazy what happens. Yeah. Okay. Let's jump into the jump into this. So
we talk about, I shouldn't say, not to our players, but we talk about there's teaching drills, there's emphasis drills, and there's energizers.
Okay.
So, like, if you look at our 4 o'clock, it says bent elbow passing, pressure passing. It's two quick passing drills that are teaching drills. And for us, the teaching in those drills, like in bent elbow passing, there's a line at the elbows and a line at the baseline out of bounds, and they're playing catch.
Right.
So if I throw it bottom to top, I just go straight up. If I throw it top to bottom, I X and cross into the other side of the court.
Do you always start with teaching drill?
Yes. Yes. We'll start with something to break a sweat before we stretch.
Okay.
Because, you know, I don't know if it's right or wrong. And if there's somebody watching this that knows more about this than I, they can correct me. But I always told muscles were like rubber bands.
Right.
If you take them, if you throw a rubber band in the refrigerator and pull it out and pull it, it's going to break.
Right.
If you rub it in your hands and get it warm, then you can stretch it. So that's the same thing. So we'll do something simple like that and a teaching drill just to get them sweating a little bit, and then we'll stretch.
Okay.
And it might be a shooting drill.
And who does the stretches?
We do them, but we got it from our trainers, you know, from our PT people. And so they're not, we actually have, which is, here's the great thing about college. I don't know, maybe you've got it at Memorial, but at a small school, we didn't. We got trainers sitting at practice every day.
Yeah. We have them coming in. Bree comes in whenever, I mean, but
yeah. I mean, so when the
winners are down sport, they're down time actually, because half of some are swimmers, and then the hockey team's at the hockey arena. So she's basically has the basketball players, the wrestlers, and the gymnasts. So it's not very much. They're all in the building. So
That's just
so nice to have a trainer.
Oh, man. Kid jams his finger or something. It's like,
go to the trainer, and we don't miss a beat. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not that I don't care about you. I'll talk to you afterwards.
Right. Right.
But yeah, so we'll do for us, the teaching part of the bent elbow passing is we talk about there's four things you have to do. You know, we always say, coaches talk about be tough with the basketball. Well, what does that mean? You know, I don't know what it means to you, but to me it means catching the ball with your feet in the air, catching the ball in triple threat, using pass fakes, and making decisions on the floor. Those four things to me are being tough with the basketball.
And pass fakes are the ones that I think they're so bad. I talk about breaking windows. It's like kind of a PGC thing, but it's like, you know, if you make that pass, you know, you got above the ears, you got the hips, where are you going to do this? And you got to fake one way and go the other. And
that's where we use it. We use that. We get that done in pressure passing.
Okay.
So we'll do that bent elbow passing for like 3 minutes, and because usually just be playing catch. Then it'll be for a minute or like 45 seconds. And then we tell them sweep, one dribble right. And then they got to use a pass fake and make the pass. And then we'll tell them for 45 seconds and it's sweep it, one dribble left. And then we're through that drill. The pressure passing, if you can get five guys in a group, that's great. You just need one ball. So you got to kind of picture this, that there's just five guys in a single line. The first guy's got a ball. He's going to roll it out to the free throw line.
Okay.
Second guy is going to, right behind him, close him out. All right. So the other thing that we talk about, and it kind of comes into play on this drill, is have an offensive and defensive quality in each of your drills. So as a coach, I was really fortunate in high school that my assistant coach in high school, like if we were doing a defensive drill, he would coach the offense.
Right.
And if we were doing an offensive drill, he would coach the defense.
I do that. That's a great thing for young coaches too. If you have more than one person there, you can't look at everything. Like I'll literally, and I'm lucky, I got three assistants at my practices, but I'll say, hey, you know, Nate, you're going to just watch defense because I'm going to watch, you know, because I can't watch three things, you know, I got to, you know, but then so they're hearing other voices from other people. I think that's a wonderful bit of advice.
For us, my assistant's in charge of the defense. I just gave it to him. Said, defense is yours. Run it by me before we do stuff. But then I take the offense. So anytime we're doing a drill, he's just coaching defense and I'm coaching offense.
I love that.
Yeah. So on the pressure passing, we've got that first guy out there. Then so he's got to do a pivot, right? He's got to pick the ball up and pivot. And for the first 45 seconds, we'll tell the defense, be obvious. Either go out with your hands up so that he's got a fake high and pass it low.
Right.
You know what? Step through your waist or get your hands down. He's got a fake high or fake low and throw it off your ear. And so it's the defense is telling you where to throw it.
Right.
And then for the next minute and 15 seconds, we'll tell the defense to be live. Now you're trying to get tips and now that guy's got to work it. So we're teaching. And then the guys at the other side, they got to catch it right.
Right.
You know, early in the season, I'm not a big guy to make guys run, but if they're not catching the ball right, we're going to get out of line.
And the thing about passing is from a former shooter and my son's a shooter, put the damn ball where I can do something. It just irritates me to no end. It's like, first of all, there'll be a pass and it's like, if you'd have passed him the ball the right way, he shoots that. Maybe you don't want him to shoot it, but you gave him a place where he couldn't shoot that.
Gives the defense time to close out.
It does. It's just like, I don't know. It's not a skill that's taught at the younger level. I don't think.
So to me, those are teaching drills, you know, those, cause we're really breaking it down.
So 4 o'clock's the teaching, you have weights above that on your practice plan.
Right.
So are you going hard? Do you have a different program during the season or out of the season? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. We'll go obviously this is preseason, so we're going 3 days a week. I think we went on Sundays, Tuesdays, Thursdays.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. And again, I don't know anything about weight. My assistant coach took care of that. He got it our football coach did it for us.
Okay.
And put it together for us. The Sundays were hard. Thursdays were hard. Tuesdays were easier.
Okay.
We're lighter.
Hey everybody. I hope you enjoy it. Make sure you subscribe. We would really appreciate that. Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen, those 5-star reviews mean a ton to us. Also go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.